Today's daf is daf nun vav. We got all the way down past the up to the two dots. More than one third of the way down there. Boy Rabbi. The next question that we had, we were discussing the machlokas between Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim as to at what point the person meant to be Mechayev himself, if he read it to Sefet, for the Ketuvah, he wrote it by the Erev, whether it goes into effect at the time of Erison or at the time of Nisun. Now, we ended up finally coming out that Halacha L'maaseh is like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. The person only had in mind to be Mechayev himself. He's Azobot Arumdana. And therefore, I have a right to assume that even though it was written, it clearly was meant to refer to a consummated marriage. But the question is, consummated in the literal sense of sexual consummation or chuppah? That's the issue that we want to know today. So, boy, Rav, nichnas al chuppah v'lo nivama, ma'u. According to our psakna, like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so suppose he gets to the chuppah, but he dies or divorces her before ever actually sleeping with her. What would be the din? Chipat chupakuna or chipat biyakuna? What are we talking about over here when he says that we understand that the reason the person was being mechayev himself was because of the chibat hanisuin? But what does that literally mean? So in that case where he died before actually physically consummating the marriage, what's the halacha? Well, says the Gemara Tashma, lechoru we could bring a riot from the following bright at the Tanya of Yosef. It says, in the language of the understanding of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there it says, it only goes into effect afterwards, shelo katavla ela chibat laila harishan. The whole idea that he was giving over this extra tosefet was basically the geisha idea. You know, it's the first night, and for that, I'm, you know, what exactly do we mean by the first night? I mean, you see, bishleim achibat chuppah. I mean, I understand, the chuppah is something that takes one time. So laila harishan, you could say, is the chuppah. So I know the Omer Laila Rishon, but if you're going to tell me Chibat Biyakuna, I mean, so what, Biyah Laila Rishonita, Bikan Ve'elech Leta, I mean, if you're telling me that it's the intimacy that he's giving, I mean, so what do you mean the first night? I mean, that's not the issue. I mean, nothing that we would say he's only thinking about the first night, and he's certainly not making a tosefet for that. So the thing that's drawing him is the concept of intimacy. I mean, you know, that he hopes to have a lifelong relationship with. Why in the world would we focus on the first night? It's irrelevant. We're certainly not going to think that if he dies after the first night that he didn't have that intimacy. So what's the point of saying Laila Rishon? The only meaning of Laila Rishon has got to be something that takes place only that first night, which is the chuppah. Therefore, Iyam Chibat Biyakona. So what, Biyakon Laila Rishoni, Tamikan Ve'elech Leta? I mean, what does that do with the first night? No, and what do you think? What happens to a chuppah has to do with the night? Chuppah is whenever. I mean, so my chuppah. So you're saying what? It's not going to chuppah. The chuppah is only about Laila. It's not Biyamama. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, it's always a sexual reference. Talk about the night. I mean, what's one of a chuppah at night? No, I can ask you the same kasha. I have a time there. You're telling me, so therefore it's got to be referring to sex. I mean, it'd be a balayla, ita, be a mama letha, we're limited to the nighttime. You're allowed to have intimate relations in the daytime as well, as long as it's not in the light. Well, look, gosh, I mean, that already doesn't bother me, because the fact that the town would like to refer to intimacy in the sense of night is derecheret, so it's urecharek amashmalan, the bia balayla. It's talking about the norm. The norm is that people use the night for intimacy and it's not exposed, and it's sanuan, and then you're talking about, is it theoretically, but that's not the point. And it's all over the world. People refer to such things as what you do in the night, not what you do in the day. So I mean, the Tana is going to use that language to refer to such intimacy. That's not a kasha, but if you're talking about bia, I mean, you're talking about chuppah, what would be the point of mentioning laila rishon? El chuba, kasha. You know, once you're ready to go according to Derech Eretz, right? You say the same thing about the chuba. Chuba nam el kasha. Keep it the stam chuba lebiya kaima. I mean, the point of a chuba is not, it's not just a formality. The point of a chuba is that we are basically bringing her into his home for purposes of intimacy, right? So therefore, I mean, we're already going to refer to the intimacy that's innate in the chuba. So we'll refer to the chuba itself as being chuba laila. So therefore, Kamashmalan, the Balayim. So he wants to tell us also that the Chibat Laila Rishon, referring to Chuppah as well, therefore would be Balayla. It's interesting, there's some Rishonim who actually who understand from this Gemara that the Chuppah has to be at night like Bia has to be at night. But that's a halacha, to make a Chuppah at night. We don't ask him like that. Although there are some who say that it's a good idea to be chayshish for it, but I mean, lamais, it's not something that people are made to be very mocked about. So, I mean, the way to understand it is as a reference, not necessarily as a teaching, or at the most as an etza. But there are those who say that it's mamash a reference to halacha. Boy, Rav Ashi, now we're talking about, you're telling me now that the essence of chuppah is essentially sexual. That's what you're saying. So now, if that's the case, how about if nitness of a chuppah will pierce sanina? Ma. Well, what would be the din of someone who got to the chuppah, but the point is now that the chuppah itself will not lead to intimacy, and he dies before ever having that. So that over here...
I can't get a break.
Yeah. So, Mao, Indim Tzolomar Chibat Chupa Konam. You want to say that Chibat Chupa is Konam. And we'll use a Lashon, by the way, as I said, that we just came out from the past Sugya, according to almost everybody, as the Rif brings it, that indeed it's Chibat Chupa is Konam. Why is it Indim Tzolomar? And then Rishonim speak out. We'll use the language of Indim Tzolomar to mean, look, if what we just said is correct, and nobody's going to find some way of arguing about it and showing that it's incorrect, then. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have an opinion on it. We have an opinion. And in fact, the Indim Tzolomar is generally an assumption of what that opinion is. So if we are going to assume at this point that indeed the halacha remains, that chibat chupa kona, as we pass, then I still need to ask you, does it mean dafka a chupa de chazi labia? Av a chupa de lo chazi labia lo, odum alo shna. In other words, if there's a chibat chupa, perhaps that's only a chupa that is suitable to have actual intimacy, but if not, in this case she's pirsanida, perhaps not. Now, there's two very, very different ways of learning this Gemara based on the machlokas of whether a chupasanida is kaina. Because if a chupasanida isn't kaina at all, then it's not chibas chupa. And then they're madayak in the sugya, then indeed you'll notice it says she went into the chupa and then pirsanida. But the chuppah itself, qua chuppah, is a kosher chuppah, because she wasn't married at the time of the chuppah. But since it was a chuppah that was destined to end in tragedy, she's pareset benita, and he dies before they ever end up sleeping together. So in that case, I mean, certainly his das is to be able to go from the chuppah to sleep with his wife, and it turns out at that point he can't. That would be the way to understand it. If you hold that chuppah's nida is kainah, so we don't have to say it's talking about it afterwards. Because that's a big Kiddush thing. What the das would be, the chuppah is okay, but he still has a mind that has to be at least the type of chuppah that is a type of chuppah, which is circumstances. So you see, there's two very different approaches. Okay, take on that, we don't have a conclusion. Rabbi Yehuda, now Rabbi Yehuda argues, here we get to the machlokes, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Can you actually end up with a ketubah that effectively is less than the amount that the Rabbanu were metaken through the mechanism of having the woman write, I already was mekabelet half? So is that, he clearly is saying that that's okay. I mean, in the sense that it's not considered to be be'ilat znut. How precisely does that work? I mean, it seems to be saying that she writes him a receipt, which would mean that if you have a debt, the ketubah is a type of debt, that you can demand that somebody accept a receipt in exchange for your payment, right? Not that the whole thing has to be rewritten. In this case, how would we rewrite the whole thing? That's what he's trying to avoid, is to write a ketuvah that's less than the amount. But the truth is, there's a big machloket whether kotvim shulchan.
For absolutely.
No, b'chol, for any debt. Because the machloket is, when we are mitakein, the dinim of lova and malva, so can we in fact insist that a person who went and gave you money should be responsible for taking care of a receipt? He should be able to say that somebody should be responsible for keeping receipts, and so on, but rather there should be a shtar for that amount, and that's what he's saying. According to this, we're saying that the woman, at least it sounds like we're saying, that the woman is supposed to give the guy a receipt, and he's supposed to be satisfied with the receipt. But if Lamaisa, we hold that normally you could say, I'm not satisfied with the receipt. So let's rewrite the shtar. So then, what are you going to do over here? You can't rewrite the ksuba. Because the whole point the Rav Yehuda is trying to do, I mean, first of all, the Mishnah doesn't say that. But anyway, the whole point the Rav Yehuda is trying to avoid is writing the ksuba, the chatchila, for a lesser amount, as we saw earlier, but finding a way around it that we should be bekayim the ksuba, but that Lamaisa she'll end up getting less money. So how exactly does that work, considering. Really sorry, okay. I don't know. The sover of Yudah the Kotvim Shover, so you're telling me now that you are allowed to write a shover and expect somebody to expect that shover. Vatznan Misha Param Mikzat Chovo. Does it not say if somebody paid up half or partially a debt? Rabbi Yudah says, I'm sorry, but he's going to have to get the shtar rewritten, Yachalif, because it certainly he can't be expected to keep the shover. Rabbi Yosef, may you go to the shoulder? Write him a shoulder. Omer, Rabbi Yirmiyah, the solution over here is for her to write that she was with Kabbalah on the actual document of the Ketuvah. So over there, if she shevarta mitocha, she breaks the value, so to speak, the power of the Ketuvah to collect the entire amount from within the Ketuvah itself. Tosis has an interesting question, which is, why can't she just go ahead and lose the Ketuvah and then come back and collect as a Tanai Bezdin? If she collects as a Tanai Bezdin, there'd be no way to prove that it was less than 200. As we said before, she lost it, so she's still collect. So what do you do over there? It does says, the case we have, we're talking about over here, that she had in the dunya. So if she had in the dunya, it's not worth it for her to lose the ketubah, because he can come right back and say, okay, fine, I'll give you 200. What about the other 100,000? 100,000. It's not worth it for her to say she lost the ketubah.
But why shouldn't he give her a seat? Why shouldn't he hold the receipt?
Of course, that,
why shouldn't he hold the receipt?
He does, he holds the receipt.
So why should he sign on the
Ketuvah? Well, I think your question is included in Gemara's next approach. I mean, obviously, there's another approach. But by the way, Tosfos also says that in a Mokum, that you're kosuring Ksuvah. That whole mission over there, or even in a Mokum where you're not kosuring, but they were aiding, that they were kosuring, she can't just go lose her Shtag Ksuvah. In general, there's the question over here, what about according to Rebbe Meir, how do you understand... Yeah, how do you understand a Mishnah that says that B'mokam Shekotv, B'mokam Shein Kotv, right? I mean, so again, obviously it's dependent. If nobody writes, there's one halacha. If generally people write, so then already there's other dinner. So it could be you don't even have to come on to Tosfos' Teretz. In any event, the other approaches, as our president was about to suggest, is that Abai Omar, I understand what the problem is. Why can't he keep the shulman? In this case, he's the one that's benefiting. I understand. He doesn't want to keep the shofar. Don't keep the shofar. It's my problem. It's your problem. So I feel a tame b'shein shofar tami tocha. I understand. B'shleim, if somebody gives you money. So then I hear if somebody gives you money, that he can't tell you, that you can't tell him, listen, you gave me money, but you got to make sure that I don't come to make you pay the money again. But over here, he didn't give her any money. She's doing him a favor. She's been called Chalat Ksuva. So he's going to not complain. He's going to say, well, it's no good. I don't want to have to keep
it.
Well, you don't want to keep the shofar? Then don't keep the shofar. Don't come to me with tithes. I mean, you didn't pay me a dime. In which case, what's the problem over here, Bechlal? In the normal case where we're talking about the Rebbe Yehuda says, don't write a shofar. So, actually pay the guy. Give a mirachas. Maybe he'll lose it, the shofar, the tavarta. Tavarta is simply the word shofar in Aramaic. And then the guy will take out his star and he's going to have a gov, he's going to recollect. So that's why you could say, but he gave her something. It was just an understanding. So, inatre, look, you want to watch it, you don't want to watch it. So then you don't have to sit on option. When you throw your money out, go throw your money out, but don't come to me. I mean, it's a pretty good time. Bishlam Abayalamak Rabir Miyam. Okay, Abaya obviously doesn't want to say Rabbi Yirmiyah. Why did they say over here that he has the Shofar to Mitocha? Abaya makes so much sense. I mean, why wouldn't Rabbi Yirmiyah agree with Abaya? Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, of course it makes sense. The point is, however, the question of whether we can utilize receipts is something that is a general halacha. It's not that we deal with each case individually. So, Gzeira Shofar the Hacha, to Shofar the Alma. Generally speaking, if a shofar is unacceptable, we can't have certain cases, like a case of ksuva, in which we're going to say, well, since nothing really transpired, we don't have a shofar under any circumstances. Now, apparently, this is the only mechanism he could come up with. She has to write itkabalt to be able to say, however, that, look, between the two of us, let's make a condition that I won't be tovat, you know, more than the 100, more than the 50. So apparently over there, it wouldn't be a kosher kind of tznai. This is the only solution. But why? Amai, davar shebemamon. This that we're talking, normally you could say, matneo mashikatuv v'torah, the tznai is batel. So if she makes an agreement, the agreement is null and void, and the ketuvah remains a chiyuv overall. However, it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that even where you're talking about a chiyuv, that where we're dealing with a financial chiyuv, you could be. Make any tanai that you want on a financial chiyuv. So let's say somebody, he holds, Dover Sheba Mamon, Tnao Kayan, the time. Omer Le Isha Reyat Mekodesh Li Amenat She'en Lach Alay She'er Ksut V'Ona. Let's say somebody gives a kiddushin, with an understanding that it's only on the condition that he does not owe her the things that a man normally owes a woman. I raise him a Kodesh to know about the Rebbe Meir. It's really, it's like any other matna mashkatuv batorah. You want to say that there's a Kedusha without Sherek Sudvona. Well, God disagrees. And since that's the case, so therefore, you're going to have a Kedusha with Sherek Sudvona. Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, how that works is not so posh. In other words, let's understand something. When we're talking about a Tznai, we're going to see later on that every Tznai has to be a Tznai Kafur. Certainly, Kafur. No, you have to say, if this, then this, and if not, then that. So that means that the man is basically saying, if, in fact, I will have to give you Sherek Sudvona, then I don't want you to be in Kodesh. So how in the world is the Tznai Batel in the condition of Kaf? It doesn't make any sense. So there's many approaches. Tosfos' approach is that we learn out from B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven that a Tznai helps. But if it wouldn't be for B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, we would think that conditions have no basis to be able to contradict the actual deal. Who says that a condition is a meaningful thing? Normally we have the contractual obligations are either or. Is either, we don't have promises. We have a chalos kinyan, right? So the idea that a kinyan can have a chalos on condition is a tremendous kiddush. Therefore, if it wouldn't be for B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, we would say, what is this? Cut that out of the contract, because it doesn't have any meaning in terms of the contracts. It's promises, meaningless. Comes along the ma'aseh with B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, that the nachla is actually being defined according to its tanai. But that tanai has to be a tanai kafur. If it isn't a Tanai Kafur the way it was with B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, as we'll see later on, then we have no makar that you're able to make something conditional. Now, of course, the obvious problem with that is that forget about the mechanism. I mean, we even rely on umdanis to tell us what is meant. So, I mean, when we have dinim of mekachtot and so on, where a person clearly has indicated this is not his dot, what do I need to come on to aspects of condition for? What allows us to say that this person was semech daito to actually make a kinyan when he's saying he wasn't? So there are Rishonim who understand that the inyan is that we look at it that he's not being serious. In other words, he knows, he wants to see how much she loves him. Let's say, right? So he's saying, and if I'm not chayav anything to you, you know, you'll still have me. Okay, but he doesn't really mean that it's only al das. In other words, we need to address the problem of how it would be that we should say that his das. There's a very surface approach to the inyan of tonight. You can imagine that Tanai is really one of the most complex sugyas because it's tremendous, what appear to be tremendous steers in where we say it's matna, mashkatuv batora. By the way, even in this Gemara, understanding this, there's a machlokas rishonim as to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'davashe b'mamon tno kayam. The part about, I don't have to sleep with you, that is not. But the part about the chiyav, the monetary chiyav, that he says that Tanai is kayam. Now, one way of understanding that is that the Tanai is kayam because he holds matna mashkatu batorah, as long as it's a chiyav b'mamon is okay. But even that is a shayla, because there are rishonim that understand that what he's saying is that the intent of the person is not to say that there should be a kedushin that is not mechayev, ksut, and mazonos, but rather that I bring mekadesh you on condition that you will subsequently be meichel the ksus and the mazonos that I owe, which means that I'm not making it tzayim. I'm not saying that there is such a... No, kedushin I accept is only the way the Torah says.
Does everybody assume that the Tanai here is a Tanai Kafur, even though it's not stated?
Yeah, Tosfos says there's no way to understand it in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says Beferish later on. The Gemara actually goes through it. I mean, the only problem is that he's Masra Mashikas of the Torah. What about the fact that it's not a Tanai Kafur? So in other words, we have to say that we're talking about a Tanai Kafur. So we'll see later. In any event, so even in how to understand Rabbi Yehuda, it's not clear. But one thing is for sure, that here Rabbi Yehuda says that basically you can get away without the Chiyuvim of the Tanai Ketuvah. Not through a shtar that says Yit Kabalti, but through acceptance of a tanai, which means it's about simply to make an arrangement where she's committing herself to be mochavet. So why is the case in the Mishnah any different? I don't understand. Why does she have to go through this complex mechanism to say that she's shoveret, and maybe even shoveret mitocha, whatever you hold, but why does she have to be shoveret? Why can't he just make a tanai? So ask the Gemara for Rabbi Yehuda, Imer, B'davish, B'mamon, Tanah, Kayim. So why not here? Oh, that's because the ksut over there is something that the Torah is mechayev you, right? If that's the case, you can make a tanai. But a ksuva is only the rabbanan. And if you're talking about the Rabbanim don't let you play games with their game. Because the Chachamim asu chizuk midibreihem, yoter mishel Torah. So since people have a tendency to disregard their chiyuvim the Rabbanim, there are cases, as we've seen many times, where the Rabbanan will make something more difficult to get around sneakily than Allah in the Torah. Therefore, don't ask me about what Rabbi Yehuda holds in a case of a Diyoraita. Here we're talking about real Chumras, the Rabbanan. Wait, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that. We know of other cases. For instance, Hare Peirot. Now, the din that the Baal eats Peirot of Nichsei Malvuk is clearly only the Rabbanan, right? There's nowhere in the Torah that if she owns property, the Baal should be eating the parents. That's okay. What did the Tanaya Ketuvah? So, nonetheless, the Rabbanan did not make such a chizuk. And Rav Yehuda himself says that. It's not Rav Yehuda Omer. The olam ruachel perei peirot, ad sheikhtov ladinu dvorim, ein li benichsayich beperotehen ubeperot perotehem ad olam. So, you have a shayl over there. What happens if a guy writes to his wife, Shtar, that I hereby commit myself to relinquishing my rights to the Peirot? Okay, all that he did was he relinquished his right to the Peirot. So now we'll take the Peirot and we'll buy property with it. Okay, now we'll eat the Peirot of that property. And this goes on ad infinitum until he writes ad infinitum. So I will not have any tviot against your property for Peirot and the Peirot of such Peirot ad infinitum. So then, fine, then that works. Now, over there, he writes it, but Kaimalan, we understand that later on to mean that all that he needed to do was not to be Kotev. All that he needed to do was to be Omer. Now, what's the difference between Omer and Kotev? The way Rashi basically understands the sugya is that when we're dealing with Omer, we're dealing with a Tanakh. When we're dealing with Kotev, we're dealing with some kind of mechanism, like a Kabbalti mechanism, or a Makne to you, or something like that. But where we're dealing with Amira B'Alma, that's an acceptance of an arrangement, is something that would be Nagei Mechila. Okay, that certainly works in well with our sugya, because, I mean, the way that we were talking about Kotev is Kabbalti, not that there's a Nafkamina in exactly the same mechanism, whether it's Bichtav or Baal Peh. That's very difficult to fit into the sugya. Just, you should know that there are those who reread the sugya in the sense of literal Bichtav or Baal Peh. And that it isn't just a question of utilizing kinyonim in a shtar. But we'll take Rashi's approach. That's the pashas of the sugya. In any event, have we just seen that according to Rav Yehuda, the Chachomim allowed you to make a deal whereby even though b'tnaei haktuvah you ought to be eating as Osman Peirot, in the end you worked it out that, no, I've agreed with you that I will not eat Peirot. No. I thought, according to Rav Yehuda, you've got to work it out with some type of trick to do that. You can't just make a tznai, and the woman agrees, okay, but I won't be tovad, I'm only going to be tovad 50. That won't work. She has to write it kabalti. So why does it work when the Baal is mevater on his perot? As to why it is that it would work when it comes to the chiyuv and diyoraisa, that we said, because he holds, either you could be matna mashkatuv batorah, or that this is not called matna mashkatuv batorah, because that wasn't your intent. Your intent was to accept what the Torah said, but then to have a mechila. Fine. But when it came to the question of the ketuvah proper, we said, well, the rabbanan are more machmir, and they didn't allow you to do that kind of thing, because they're also chizuk l'divrayim. But here we also have a chelek of the ketuvah, which is the rabbanan, tnaya ketuvah, perot of nirsei malud, and it does not, in this case, seem to be a problem. Rav Yehuda is ready to accept that you could simply make it tonight. So now I don't understand it. So now neither approach works out. I mean, here we're talking about a drabon. Rabbi, now wait a second. Well, nobody said that on every single element drabonan of the ketuvah or bichlal, every single time, there's always going to be a chachamim also chizuk v'divrei. Now let's take a look at this case. Is it not true that a ketuvah is universal? The 100 and the 200, that's a universe. If the rabbanan are going to make dinim to be bechazik divrei, I mean, this makes it reasonable they're going to affect the dinim that are universal. To talk about the case of Nichsei Malug, I mean, for heaven's sakes. How many women are going to bring in Nichsei Malug, allow the husband to utilize it, mess it up the whole life, not be guaranteed anything to get it back if it goes down or if he ruins it or whatever, and not take the same property and bring it into Nichsei Tzoron Bazer or Melech Hatchila to be part of the Nadunya that he accepts Achrayas for? It's a rare thing. So you have a woman who likes to have her own name on the mailbox. Okay, fine. So she's got her own. So for that, she's got to pay that there's no guarantee of her property. I don't say the case doesn't happen, but it's certainly not the norm to have Nixay Malug and a Baal being actual payers of Nixay Malug. Therefore, says Abaya, Lakol Yesh Ktuba, but Lo Lakol Yesh Perot. So a Milta de Shechita, something that is a norm of the Berabon and Chizor. I mean, the point is they're trying to ensure the standard Ktuba. I understand that to ensure the standard Ktuba, they're going to say, you can't play games and make Tnaim. If you want to do anything, I mean, you can write it Kabbalti, I mean, that's like any other debt. But you can't play games with the Ktuba prop. But Milta de Lo Shechita, what in terms of the Achila Peres of Yitzhak Malut, they should make a Takana. Over there, law of the Barabon and Chizuk. Oh, yeah? Well, how about the case that we had before about the Chamarim? Remember the Chamarim? We had it all worked out. Which guy's going to be selling in which town? And who's the good guy? Who's the good guy in which town? Right? So they take turns of being the good guy that everybody's going to buy from.
Don't buy from
the honest guy. Right? I'm the honest guy. Nobody's going to buy from me because I'm telling them, okay, but you can trust me that the other guy's stuff is good and that's so honest. You buy from him. And then they switch over. That's the Chashinu Magayim. Now, we saw earlier that Rabbi Yehuda Shita ben Abiyah de Kahuna, what it was that is Chashinu Magayim, right? And yet, surprisingly, we have a case of Drabbanan, of the Mishnah of the Chamarim that we discussed earlier that we had. This comes from the Sechet Demai. It says over there, you've got two guys that are donkey drivers, itinerant peddlers, and they have grain, and they're Nichlasu L'Yir. So one of them says, when people come to buy, they say, yeah, you don't want to buy from me. I mean, Shavu Chadash. My grain is new grain, hasn't dried properly yet. It's lousy. You know, it's Chaveri Yashan. He's the guy you want. But not to mention the fact that I haven't even taken off Shavu Zemaisus yet. It's not yet ready. I mean, Shali Eino Metukan, but my friend, I mean, he's a very mock, but he's got a bad dad, so you can eat from him. Shal Chaveri Metukan. So Eino Emanim. Why? Because it's very suspicious. And what we figure is, they made a deal, each one takes turns in being the one who's going to sell in this town, and everybody will rely on the fact that the other guy says that his payers are badats. Yeah, very common today. Meshkiach says, yeah, you won't eat that, that's not good. This is kosher. None of it's kosher.
Or it all is.
Ain't their money, but Rav Yehuda Omer Ne'emanim. Now this doesn't make sense. Rav Yehuda himself is the one that says, we're kashin and legerim lemana diraisa. And over here, apparently, because it's the Rabbanan holds, you can be made. I thought the Rabbanan are being more machmir on their takanas than the Diraisa. So how do you explain this? Rabbaya also says, Abaya, look, I mean, it's a big difference. A takana that we want you to be more machmir on the Rabbanan makes sense when you've got a vada. We make a takana, ketubah, it's 200. Is there something about that? That's a ketubah. And we don't want you playing games with them. So a vada the divrayim, they're of the Rabbanan chizik. The whole din of Demai is based on a suffix. Is it really necessary to say that on a suffix the Rabbanim are chizik v'divreya? They want you to be machmer on Demai. No, okay. But they're certainly not going to make it more chaber than a diraisa. So you don't have a shayla over there. Rava says, it's more than that. Even if they would, on a suffix, want you to be machmer. But Demai is not even a normal suffix. Because remember that by Demai we have a din that Rava me'aretz ma'asrine. So it's worse than a suffix. A suffix that is already passed in terms of the row, bain bin raisa, bain bin rabbanan, there's absolutely no reason to be chayish l'dibay. So it's basically an off-the-wall kind of takan that goes against the normal dinim even of suffix. Therefore, we find all kinds of kulas when it comes to demai. Somebody who's poor, whatever, a lot of dinim about demai that is not norm for an isid rabbanan. So one of the kulas that we find in demai, says Rava, is the very fact that according to Rav Yehuda, we would not say that they were machmirim on demai. Yoter mishal Torah, it would be so against the overall halacha of the demai ikilu. Why you can't ask from demai? But generally speaking, ein achinami, not only when it comes to dinim of ketubah, but the rabbanan would be also chizuk with Ibrahim. We see no reason to doubt that that's actually Rav Yehuda's reasoning for demanding a shover here, instead of simply saying that they could be matneh, a mechila. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, kol hapochet, if you're going to be make something that is less than 200 for a betulah, 100 for almanah, so bilato is bilat znut. Now, I mean, the idea of kol hapochet, what is kol hapochet? Is that the point, or is the point a betulah who doesn't get 200, an almanah who doesn't get 100? Isn't that what he should be saying? If he's telling you, kol hapochet, it means that the attempt itself is enough to destroy the bi'ilah, to be a bi'ilat znut. So in other words, even though the end result is, what he seems to be saying, even though the end result when it comes to court will be that this isn't going to work anyway, and that she will get her 200, but the very fact that you created an ostensible mechanism to make her get less than the 200, that itself makes the bila bilatzmut. So kol ha-pochet means afilu bitzna'a. In other words, you made a tzna'a, and you told her, look, giving you a ketuvah, I want you, however, to be mochelet half. Now, lemaisa, apparently there's no real mechila, for some reason, which I assume is that the tzna'a is bottom. Not like Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Meir l'shitato. So, in other words, you see from here, alma kasava tzna'o batel. Apparently what he's saying, really, it didn't work anyway. Right? Nonetheless, the bila is a bila tzna'os. So in other words, if you make such a tzna'i with a woman, now you have to redo your ketubah. So now, the meaning would be, kivan the omar la, leit lech el amana, but since she thinks that she's been mochelet half, lo samcha da'ata, so as far as she's concerned, she does not feel secure in the relationship. She feels that he's going to be able to get rid of her cheaply, and therefore she feels cheapened. But that's the definition of znus. The definition of znus is a bi'ila that has no real meaning, has no real context. He destroyed the context. So that means, avila bi'ila to bi'ila znut. The problem is, why is the tzna'i batel? Because, Hashem, you know, the Rabbi Meir, the Rakhola batel, mashakatub batorah, tzna'a batel. But, mashman and drabonan, the tzna'a is kayan. And we've been assuming all along that ketubah is drabonan. Oh, no, not Rabbi Meir. Because of Rabbi Meir, ketubah the oraita. If you recall, we've already discussed earlier. According to Rabbi Meir, ketubah is actually the oraita, and therefore it fits the bill of saying matel mashikatur batorah tnao batel. Despite the fact that tnao batel, nonetheless, bilato bilatznus.
Do you know it was a machloket or?
We had earlier. Yes.
Yeah, no. I that's just it. I remember that it was machloket, but there was a machloket. Sure. Yeah, it's a machloket.
So, okay, and the question is, what about the mana? Because over here he says the same thing about the almana. The almana mana. And so suppose over there, Lamaisa, he would have made it tonight. Would the tonight be kayam there? I mean, certainly bilato bilatznut. Would the tonight be kayam? Tosis says, well, since the ikuksiv is the araisa, we give it one din. But other Rishonim indeed entertain the question of whether, in that case, no is kayam, what the din would be, does that possible, and so on. Tada. Rabbi Meir Omer. Kol ha-pochet le-bitula mi-matayim ula-almana mi-mana rezu bilatzot. In the brights that we discover, the other shittot that argue on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rashai, you can do whatever you want, you make it whatever tznai that you want, and this would be even a tznai in the sense of a baal peh. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, well, no, you can't do that, but if you want to obtain the same result, what you could do is, Ratzah kotev lebetula shtar shamatayim. You have to write out a normal ketuvah without any kind of tna'im. But then he kotev et lo yikabati mimcha mana. Or you can write a standard ketuvah to an almana for a mana, and he kotev et lo yikabati mimcha kamishim zuz. So wait, you're telling me, according to Rabbi Yossi, that there's no problem? So Rabbi Yossi Rishai, that you can make a tna'im, baal peh, so to speak. And that's the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. He says, no, you can't do that. But according to Rabbi Yossi, that would be fine. Ramini. Ein osin ketuvat isha metaltele mipnei tikkun olam. So the Tanakhama says like this. You cannot take certain metaltele and say, okay, see this blender? Super duper blender. This is your ketuvah.
Oh, joy.
Oh, joy. You can keep working. All right, so why? Because, first of all, things happen to the Talmud. And well, how do we know that they're not going to simply be lost if she's macabre something on herself? So, yeah. So if that's the case, you don't do it because of tikkun ha'olam. We'll get into the details in a minute. Says Rabbi Yossi in response to that Tanakhama, v'chima tikkun ha'olam yesh b'zu. What kind of tikkun ha'olam is it to say that something may happen to the Talmud? Halo in kitzuvin. The value is not defined. Upochatim, and not only that, it gets to be worthless. What? That, isn't that like what Tanakhama was saying, isn't it? Tanakhama nani, eno sin karma. What is he saying? Tanakhama says you can't, and Rabbi Yossi is saying you can. And he's yelling about the Tanakhama. El Allah, the only way to understand it is like this, that all can come.
Tana Kama came along and said, look, we make a Tikkun HaOlam because the woman has got to make sure that she gets her money. So we throw in there, but if there would be a way to make sure anyway, let's say so the husband writes out a guarantee. So, Bamed Mar Mamurin, B'Shalo Kibel Alav Achrayut. Aval Kibel Alav Achrayut. Look, if anything happens, I will replace it. Okay? So then if Kibel Alav Achrayut, then there'd be no problem, right? Comes along Rabbi Yossi to say, oh no, that's not good enough. Ot Rabbi Yossi Lameima, Ki Kibel Alav Achrayut. Am I Yossim? That you call a Tikkun HaOlam. That's a crummy Tikkun HaOlam you guys made. Hello, Ein Ketzuvim Upo Chatin. So, Rabbi Yossi is saying you cannot even enter into a relationship in which there's a chance, because you are only in a Kabbal Achrayut, that you're going to replace it. But if the vice of the value goes down, she's going to be left without her ketubah. I don't understand. What you're saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, you said a minute ago, that you could even make a tnai in a ketubah that it's worth less, right? So why can't you give her the blender, and if it'll be worth less, it'll be worth less. I don't get it. And over here, it's only a chashash. I mean, you're saying that even if you say openly, you're going to accept less. You're going to be both kind of, that's fine. So over here, where you're giving her lamaisa the full value, it may go down. So that's no good. Does this make sense? It's completely inconsistent. If Rabbi Yossi is even worried about the possibility that the value of the blender is going to go down, over here he's making a tnai where definitely the value of the ketuvah now is half of what it's supposed to be, and that's okay. So after the vadek apoch to lokol shkein v'shor shouldn't be in. See what kind of comparison? Achi hashda. Hatem lo yada the tachil. Achi yada the kamachla. There's no comparison. You're asking from a case where a woman is mochelet the ketuvah to a case where she believes she's going to be getting her ketuvah and in the end can't collect. What's the comparison? She doesn't realize that by the time she comes to collect her ketuvah, the blender is going to be worthless. So, therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, look, you have to be chayish. You're going to end up being mafzer her ketuvah. Does that mean that if you make a tnai with a tefillah, with a mechila, that it's not good? Why wouldn't it be good? She's yodat, and nonetheless, she goes into the relationship. Apparently, it's okay with her. Achte, the Rami Bar Chama. Now, Rami Bar Chama's sister was married to Rav Avya, and she lost her ketuvah. So she comes to Rabbi Yosef. He wants, I mean, do we have to write out a new ksuvah immediately? Or like, you know, we're not allowed to live together until we have a ksuvah. What's the deal? So he said, look, this whole business about kol apochet betuvah and the whole thing, and that's considered to be bilas nuz because she's not so mechadata and so on. That's all Rabbi Meir's opinion. According to that, you're right. The woman who is not going to be so mechet data, she thinks she's supposed to, the only way she's going to be able to collect, she had a shtar ketuvah, she wants a shtar ketuvah, so she's not going to be so mechet data. So, she's, even though, technically speaking, you could tell her from today till tomorrow, listen, don't worry about it, it's an ibez, and you don't even need to present your ketuvah to collect, it's okay. No. Very fishy. All of a sudden, I don't need the ketuvah. They made such a big deal, put it up on the wall. All of a sudden, I don't need the ketuvah. Lamaisa, she's not so mechadas. But that's Rabbi Meir's chiddush that a not so mechadas is considered to be bilatznus. We don't pass him like Rabbi Meir about that. So, okay, don't worry about it. You know, next week sometime, next year, whatever. We'll get around to writing a ketuvah. It's not important. And when she gets nervous, we'll write the ketuvah. But it doesn't have to be today. So therefore, Chachomim Omri, Masher Adam Et Ishto Shtayim Shalosh Shanim, Belo Ketuvah, there's no tragedy in not having a Ketuvah. It's all covered anyway, Mitznai Beit Din. I'm like, I thought, Omrim Nachman Omer Shmuel, Halachat Rabbi Meir, V'gzerotav. The din is that we paskin like Rabbi Meir wherever he makes a gzera. It's very difficult because this is not a gzera. This is a psakalok of how to understand exuvahs. I mean, Rashi tries to get around that problem. That the word gzerotav is not necessarily gzerotav. It's anything that is machron, divreter, and isvaheter is called a gzera. So the Rabbanon want more. That Rabbanon wanting more is a gzera. But a lot of Rishonim have problems with the use of the word gzerotav over here. This is, opens up a lot of discussion. What do we mean by paskin? In what sense is this element a gzera? Okay, but again, for purposes of discussion, let's take Rashi now. That this is a chumrah, and therefore it's considered to be a gzeirah d'rabbanan. So then when he heard, oh, so if that's the case, and you better go ahead and write her a ketuvah before taking her back home. So therefore, according to this, we do have to be chayish for smichas das, and without smichas das, then indeed bilato bilatzmi. Okay, so what did we have tonight? Let's just review. We started off with the discussion of how do we understand the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Paskin according to, where he says that the intent in writing the ketubah was only for marriage. What is marriage? Is marriage a chuppah or is marriage actual bien? We tried to bring a raya from Laila Risha and we ended up understanding that, well, indeed it works out pretty good. Laila Risha makes more sense than it's talking about chuppah. So then we wanted to know, okay, but what type of chuppah? Is it a chuppah necessarily that leads to bia, or could it be even a chuppah either of a nida, if you hold chuppah's nida is kind of, or a chuppah that ended up in nidais, where she was piercing nida before ever going to bed with him, and then he ends up dying before he ever gets to sleep with her. Okay, that we left open. Then we got into the next part of the mission. The next part of the mission was about Chlokas Rav Yehuda Rav Meir, and in doing so we discovered a lot of subtext, because it looked like there was just a question of whether bilato biladznus. I know, we chayish for this thing or not. But it ended up being very, very complex. It ended up talking about a question of whether it's, first of all, what's the din of matam hashekatuv batorah? Is this a case of matam hashekatuv batorah? Is it possible that if it's a drabbanan, it's more chomer than a diaraisa, that even if you would hold that you can't be matam hashekatuv, you can be matam hashekatuv batorah, but you cannot be matam hashekatuv in a drabbanan, so to speak, which is what we ended up saying is Rav Yehuda Shita. So that when it says here you can be pochet, it doesn't mean you can be pochet any old way. It means that you can be pochet by creating an artificial payment. So that means that you're not doing anything to the etzem ketuvah, you're using a completely different mechanism to be pochet. From there already we have to be the golesh to a completely different issue, is whether, how do you do that? Do you write a receipt? Can you write receipts? Or is this only a din if she's actually shoveret mitucha? Or is the din of receipts dependent on a case-to-case basis? Whether it's reasonable to expect the guy to be shomer? This is amazing. We did all of this just in a few minutes. I mean, absolutely incredible. All of this material. It's like really grand. Yeah, wow. This is wonderful. Okay, then we talked about another few examples, two other examples of cases where you would have thought that there was a chumra derabon. And if you're going to say that the chachonim are machmir and adivreya, you have to understand that it's sort of case-by-case dependent. I mean, if it's a universal din, we said, okay, then it makes sense. It's not going to apply to Peres. Furthermore, perhaps if it's only a suffix to Divrayim, or certainly if it comes to Demai, or in general, or Maker, we're not going to suddenly be Machmir in that case. Then we ended up with the understanding that Rabbi Meir was saying that it's all a question of what she thinks, not even a question of reality. As a result of which, we understand that, but the reality is that the Tanai is both. Which is a problem, since according to Rabbi Meir, a tznayin that a drabbanan shouldn't be bought. Ah, but it turns out it's a tznayin that a diaraisa, because Rabbi Meir also thinks it was diaraisa, which led us to the question among the Rishonim, what about the ketuba of the almana in this case? But which also led us to understanding the mechanism being that she has to be somecheda. And the somecheda, that led us to the other question of, how about a ketuba the irchasa, which means the ketuba that was lost. That's a term, because when you rewrite the ketuba, it's not called the ketuba, it's called the ketuba the irvasa. Because the lashon of the shtar ketuba starts off, this person had a ketuba which was irvasa, and this is, because otherwise you can't replace the ketuba, she finds the other ketuba. She can bring two ketubas and then bring a different, but they didn't even collect because she still got a shtar. Okay, but these are issues that we'll see later on. But in any event, the requirement for the immediacy of the ketuba, the irvasa, would only be aliba this chashash of Rabbi Meir about lo samcha daito, because as we've seen, all you don't really need a ketuba at all. So the whole thing is only so critical because this element of Rabbi Meir we will paskin in hilchotav, how in zerotav, how much this includes of Rabbi Meir is a machlokas. Which elements of Rabbi Meir were saying zerotav? Is the general halacha of the smichus das, or are we talking about the other issues as well? Also to be discovered, to be discussed. Let's do now. And we welcome, of course, La, and you'll be hearing this from maybe back in South Africa, and you won't be back yet.
Back next day.
Huh?
This is Wednesday, I'm back on Thursday.
Oh, next day, huh? Well, how about sending regards to everybody then?
See you tomorrow, guys.
Okay. All right, let's do our review.